So we are just going to talk a little bit about releasing the supernatural. I did this card so that you can keep it with you. Now, these are declarations that, they're awesome. And if you say some of these declarations, it's like, oh, wow, did I just say that out loud? Let's just run through it really quick. Number one, yes, there is more. Do we have more of these, Hardy?
Yes.
Okay, we'll get them to you. We'll get them to you. But the first one is, the invisible realm is more real to me than the visible realm. Right? We believe that. We believe that. Eternity, the spiritual realm where Jesus is, with right next to the Father, that's more real than this. And so we just need to declare that sometimes to tell ourselves what to focus on. Angels are with me at all times to minister to, strengthen, and assist me. You know, if I don't say that once in a while, I tend to forget that I am being guarded and protected by angels all around, all around. Amen. Number three, I consistently release the supernatural to others by faith, not merely by sight or feeling. Sometimes faith is like non-emotional. Sometimes you do it because you're doing it and you know what God has said and it doesn't matter how you feel. And so that's the kind of faith that we release and see the supernatural happen. Number five. Oh, wait a minute. Number four, I am relentless in pursuit of releasing the supernatural. I will not take no for an answer, and I will not let apparent failure stop me. You know, I make mistakes all the time, but I care about what God wants to do more than I care about me getting it right. I'm going to make mistakes. You're going to make mistakes. When you step out and take risk and we work in the supernatural alongside of the Holy Spirit, we're going to mess up. Why? Because we're human. And we're not in heaven yet. But God is faithful. And you'd be surprised. He always has a plan and he always works everything out for the good of those who love him. Amen? Number five, I increasingly have supernatural, Holy Spirit-infused dreams, visions, unusual miracles, manifest authority over demons, angelic visitations, and new infillings of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We need to remind ourselves of that. And then the reinforced section, this is some, if you want to get deeper, and there's going to be a few different speakers this month on this topic, but if you want to go deeper, these are things that you can do. Number one, read Acts. Underline, highlight, notice, and study every supernatural thing that happened with the early church. It'll blow your mind. It'll blow your mind. Remind yourself. You probably read it before. Read it again. I mean, there was translations that happened. He was there, and now he's 20 miles down the road. That is supernatural, right? Lots of good stuff in there. Number two, pray in the Spirit at least 5 minutes a day. If you haven't received your prayer language, pray to receive it. You know, that's a miraculous language. When we are praying in tongues, when we're praying in the Spirit, I mean, that's communication that our mind doesn't understand. It's our spirit with God's Spirit communing. And it will do so many amazing things. It'll build up a fortress inside of you, a good fortress. Number three, share testimony of Holy Spirit supernatural power in manifested in your life and the lives of others. We need to start talking about the good things God is doing on purpose. Let's talk about it. Let's brag about what he's doing on earth. Because you know what? The darkness likes to brag. Right? The darkness likes to brag. We need to brag. God is good, and he is healing, he's saving, he's restoring, he's setting people free, and we need to start talking about it. Okay, so that's what this is. I'm excited about it. Can you tell? Let me get my phone out. Let's pray really quick. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. God, without your word, where would we be? Father, your word is life to us, and we just thank you that we can go to your word and we can get everything we need. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are teaching us. You're growing us up. God, you're making us the sons and daughters that we are called to be here on this earth. So I just pray that, Holy Spirit, you would say what you wanted to say in here tonight, and that everyone would hear what they need to hear from you tonight. And that we would grow in this supernatural lifestyle that you've called us to. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, the word supernatural scares people sometimes. And I honestly, if I was really honest, I'm excited, but I'm also a little nervous. Because the supernatural tends to be a little controversial in the church today. Can you believe that? But it is. Because there's always real, a lot of nervousness about people taking it too far and about abuse. And I get all that. But our God is a supernatural God. Amen? He's supernatural God. And the world is obsessed with the supernatural. Notice that? All of the TV shows, all of the paranormal stuff that's out there. They're obsessed. Wait until we get closer to Halloween. We're going to see it all over the place. Obsessed with the supernatural. Why shouldn't God get glory for who he is on earth through his children? Amen? He should get the glory for that. So the supernatural is, we're just going to define it really quick, start from the very beginning. It's of a manifestation or event attributed to some force beyond scientific understanding or the laws of nature. You know what I love the best? I love to read those articles that science has proven a case for God. That is so exciting to me. And you can see it every once in a while. And I don't have that great of a memory, nor did I study it, so I can't just blurb them out. But when that happens, that's like, yes. Yes. That they found out that there is something they can't explain. And it proves that God is good and that he's an amazing God. In Job 26:7, it says, he stretches out the north over empty space. God defined the north. God defined the north. And he hangs the earth on nothing. We serve a supernatural God. Just looking at creation shows us that he's a supernatural God whose words create worlds. Amen? How many of us, without the power of the Holy Spirit, can create anything with our words? But our Father has created all of this with the words spoken out of his mouth. Supernatural, supernatural. The Bible is a supernatural book. This is my devotional reading Bible. It's not pretty, but I grabbed it today. The Bible is a supernatural book. In Hebrews 4:12, it says, "For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword." I hope you don't mind a lot of scripture verses tonight, because I got a ton of them. Is that okay? Okay. But it's living. This Bible is not a history book. As much as it tells us about the history of the world, this is not limited to a history book. It tells us about our future as well. This is a living book. It's supernatural. Supernatural. All throughout the Bible, we see supernatural things taking place, from time standing still. That was actually the article that I read, and it was on Facebook, and I didn't verify. But it said something like NASA was doing a study and found that they were missing a day or something like that in the study. And they were able to take it back to the Bible and found out that that day where the sun stood still was proven. Now, please, somebody research that for me. Did you see it? And it was from a credible source? Mm-hmm. That would be really, really awesome to know the source. You know what I mean? To understand it, which I don't know that I'm smart enough to understand it anyways, but I'll ask my husband because he'll tell me. Yeah, for the sun to stand still during the battle. And then there was another one for the clock to go backwards. And they accounted for both of those times. NASA, I guess, did. So it's really, really interesting. So do some research. Maybe you can help me out here. But all throughout the Bible, time standing still, to fire burning a bush but not consuming it, lions' mouths being shut, right? Women in their 90s having children, supernatural, rivers parting, giant fingers writing on the walls, right? Donkeys talking. This book is a supernatural book. And if we're offended by the supernatural, we're confused because we live and breathe this, right? This is the basis of our belief and our knowing. Bible's supernatural. Jesus is supernatural. Jesus is supernatural, not was, is. And he is our example. He's our example. 1 John 2:5-6. By this we know that we are in him. The one who says he abides in him ought himself to walk in the same manner as he walked. Wow. We are supposed to walk around this earth like Jesus did. He's our example. Now that can be intimidating, but you know what? He left us a helper. And that's who we're going to talk about today. Philippians 2:5, have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. We are not only supposed to walk like Jesus, but we're supposed to have the same attitude as Jesus. That'll check you real quick, right? When we wake up and we're grouchy or we're getting frustrated or we're mad and, ooh, was I mad yesterday? We're moving out of our house, and so like I have all these, everything's off the wall, everything's stacked in my living room, I have new furniture and old furniture and stuff I'm selling, and I was trying to study, and I'm like, don't look at me, to my husband. Just grouchy, right? I did not have the same attitude, which was also in Christ Jesus. But we're supposed to be like him. Even when circumstances are that bad, and you have an amazing attitude, that's a supernatural attitude. Yeah. It's a supernatural attitude. 1 Peter 2:21. For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered. That word in the Greek means endured. Since Christ endured for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps. We are supposed to follow Jesus' example. Hebrews 12:2. Told you there's a lot of scripture verses. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author. Author there means founder, leader. He's our leader. He's who we're following. And the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus is our example. You know, we've taken all these verses, and you all agree with everything I said. I know that. But could we maybe be limiting this revelation to only the fruits of the Spirit? Just like a What Would Jesus Do band, right? We all have our What Would Jesus Do band on. Do we limit his example to only the fruits of the Spirit? Or do we also employ his example in our lives with the gifts of the Spirit? With the gifts of the Spirit. What would Jesus do through the supernatural gifts and power of the Holy Spirit? That, I believe, is where the big challenge is for us. Do we walk around healing, delivering, setting free those like Jesus did here on earth? And that's what we're called to do. We are called to release the supernatural power of God into others. You can only release something that you have in here. Amen? But guess what? You do. You do. The power of the Holy Spirit lives, breathes, and moves inside of us. And he has given us that power and authority when we hide ourselves in him. So we're going to look at how Jesus moved in the supernatural. And if you look at the Gospels, each Gospel is a picture of Jesus. And there's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and they're all written certain ways and written to certain people. But John primarily was written to prove Jesus was the Son of God with miraculous power. That was his focus. He wanted to show that Jesus was a miracle worker and he was the Son of God. And so we're going to look at John and we're going to look at the 8 miracles that Jesus performed in John. We're going to go really fast, so hold on. You all know these miracles. We're just going to put them out there. Number 1, water into wine. What happened there? Jesus attended a wedding with his mom and his disciples. They ran out of wine. What was Jesus' response? It's not my time. It's none of my business, basically. But you know what? His mom's faith said, just do what he tells you to do. Because she knew he cared. She knew he would be involved in something that mattered to someone else. Because that's who he was. So then what did he do? He told his disciples, get the jars, fill them with water. He employed his disciples and those with him. that was very important to him too, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. But the water was turned into wine. The key points there were honor and delight in every one of our cares. The nobleman's son was number two miracle. This nobleman was probably a servant of the king, King Herod, probably. And he came to Jesus because that was his only hope. His son was dying, his son was sick, and he needed him to be healed. So he came to Jesus, and he said, I need your help. Jesus spoke a prophetic word and said, go, your son is well. Amen? Jesus moved in the gifts and the power and the authority of the Holy Spirit. Number three, the pool of Bethesda. What happened? A guy 38 years was sitting there waiting for somebody to pick him up and put him in the pool. He had faith to believe he could be healed. He just didn't have the help he needed. What did Jesus do? He came over and he healed him. He said, get up, pick up your bed, you are healed. Despite the pool rules, is what I said, despite the religious rules, because what day was it? It was a Sabbath day. Jesus acted out of his relationship with the Father because he knew the Father loved this man and wanted to see him healed. And that's in John 5. I haven't given you the, just go through John. Read the whole thing. You'll see it. It's like number two, number four, number five. Number four, the feeding of the 5,000. What happened? Jesus met their needs. He used what they had. He again employed his disciples. He said, get the baskets, get the people organized. We're going to pass out the food. He employed the disciples. He gave thanks, and everyone was fed and full. Number five, Jesus walked on the water. In this story, the disciples had went on ahead in the boat, and Jesus went up to the mountain to spend time with his Father. He needed his alone time. And the disciples got into a pickle. They started dealing with a storm in the lake, and they needed Jesus. And Jesus showed up supernaturally. I love this story because they needed his presence, and he did not withhold his presence from them. But he came to them. And even though the disciples were scared and they couldn't figure out how he was doing it, they still wanted him. And that spoke a lot to me when I was studying today, is that are we scared of the presence of God? When we can't figure it out, do we still want his presence fully? Because he's a supernatural God. And sometimes he doesn't show up like we think he's going to show up. Sometimes he walks out on the water. But his presence is needed, and Jesus showed up. Number six, he healed the blind man. Jesus teaches a lesson, too, about religious ideas, where they asked, was this guy blind from birth because somebody sinned in his family? He said, no. And he took some clay, and he made it paste, and he put it on his eyes, and he said, go wash. And in obedience, he received his miracle, and he was healed. And that's in John 9. And seven, Lazarus. I love this story, too, because it shows Jesus' humanity, where he was moved emotionally when his friend died, and he cared about this family. He raised Lazarus from the dead, and he proved his authority over death. And that's in John 11. And then eight, this happened after he died and rose again. And this was when the disciples were out in the boat catching fish all night. We know what happened. They didn't catch anything. And Jesus knew what was happening, and he showed up. And he said, I care about what you're going through right now, and I know you need fish. So he said, this is how you do it. Put it on the other side of the boat. And he employed the disciples again, and he met their need. And that's in John 21. See, Jesus, if you see that pattern, it's not in every single miracle, but there's a lot of things where he wants us involved in the miracle, whether we're our disciples, or we have to pick up our mat, or we have to go wash in the river. He's showing us how to get involved in the supernatural. He wants to employ us. There's so many miracles using his disciples. In James 2:17, it says, "Even so, if faith has no works, is dead, being by itself." We can believe all we want to believe, but unless we will act on it, unless we do what the Bible says to do, unless we give Holy Spirit a chance to work through us, nothing's ever going to happen. We've got to work it out and step out. Jesus gave us a commission to do the supernatural. In Matthew 10:8, he got 70 more disciples. Maybe the 12 were in there somewhere. It doesn't really say, but he sent out 70, paired them up, sent them out. And this is what he told them to do: heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the leper, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Now, if this was before the infilling of the Holy Spirit, how much more do you think our commission says? Amen? Amen. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the leper, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. And then Jesus said, "Greater works will you do," because he knew what he was about to give us. He knew when he went to the Father, he was going to give us this fire, this Holy Spirit filling. John 14:12, he says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also." You remember all those 8 miracles? Wow. Think about that. Has that been your greatest wish, to feed 5,000 people in one setting? Have we even thought about it? Let's start thinking about that stuff. Let's start believing for the supernatural, because he says it right here. He will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. Because he knew after the cross, when he got to the Father, he was going to send the Holy Spirit. Jesus longed for this baptism for us. He longed for it. I believe it's what drove him to the cross. Yes, that our salvation and our covenant would be made secure. But the whole point is that Holy Spirit is alive and breathing on the earth. Amen? And he's alive and breathing through us. Through us. Luke 12:49. I've always thought that this was kind of a mean scripture verse. Like, "Oh, Jesus, you're kind of mean." I'm just being honest. It's what happens when you start reading the Bible when you're really young. You get these like preconceived thoughts and you're like, "That was mean." Anyways, Luke 12:49, I'll explain. "I have come to cast fire upon the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled." You know, right away, some of us, me included, think, "Wow, Jesus was ready to cast judgment on the earth." But if you look at that word fire, it means supernatural power. He was ready to give Holy Spirit power to his disciples. But he knew he couldn't do it until he went to the Father. He knew he couldn't do it because he knew the cross was before him. But he was like, "Oh, I can't wait to give you this fire. I can't wait to give you this fire, this baptism of fire." We know it happened in Acts. It proved what Jesus was saying in Acts when the flames of fire came and rested on the 120 in the upper room. Baptism of fire, the power and the authority that the Holy Spirit gives us. In John 14:16, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever." This scripture verse is awesome. Because sometimes we think the Holy Spirit comes and goes. You know, when we mess up, when we stub our toe on a sin, we think he flies away. "I'll be back when you deserve me." He doesn't do that. He stays with us forever. Forever and ever. When you wake up in the morning, he's with you. He's in you. He's living and breathing inside of you. Can we have more? Mm-hmm. We can have more. We can have more. We've got to get out of the natural here in our mind, in our hearts, where we feel. And we've got to get our new heart and our new spirit. In Ezekiel, it talks about this in 36:26. It says, "Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you." And sometimes we have to remind ourselves, Mary, you have a new heart. You don't have to feel that way anymore. Mary, you have a new spirit. You don't have to allow your emotions and your mind to control you. You have a way to communicate with the Father. You have a way to accept his love when you don't think you deserve it. Let your spirit rule. That's what we have to work on. We work it out. We practice it. We have a new identity. We have a new identity. Man, if we could get our identity right, if we could get our identity right and keep it right, it's like we have this default button that happens. I don't know, for me it's in the morning, maybe it's for you at night, whatever, the default button. It's like, let's change the default. I am seated, right? Colossians 3:1-3. If you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not in the hidden things that are on earth, on the things that are on earth, sorry. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. So when God sees you, he doesn't even look at you. He looks at Jesus. And that is really hard for us to take. Almost offensive to our flesh. Because can we really believe that? Can we really truly believe that when Father God looks at us, he sees Jesus? That's why we should never stop working on our identity, because that default will creep up and then we're not seated with him anymore, and we're not living hidden in him anymore, and then we got to start over. Galatians 5:25, if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Instead of living in this natural, old, boring, stressed out, frustrating life, let's live in the Spirit. Let's be more focused on what he's doing than what we need to do. You know, I'm older now, so I'm in my 40s, and I can pretty much go through my day and not even think about the things I do. I'm like, okay, washing the dishes, okay, doing laundry, okay, driving everywhere on earth, seems like. But why not be filled with the Spirit doing it? You know, why not be speaking in tongues? Why not be worshiping? Why not be saying, Jesus, who do you want to heal today? Like, what do you want to do? Give me a prophetic word. If I'm texting, why not be texting prophetic words? Right? Like, let's let him use us all day long. It's so much more fun. So much more fun. We can wake up and go, Holy Spirit, let's do an adventure today. You want to? And he will. You almost have to go, okay, I can't do anymore. I just need to focus and get this done, you know, because he'll just constantly, yeah, let's do it. You see that person? I'll give you this word for that person. I'll give you that word for this person. It's too much fun not to live and walk by the Spirit. And ask. We need to ask for a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit. And you can never ask too much. He wants to fill us every day. He wants to refill us every day. It's like, now I kind of get now why a lot of people will talk about being drunk in the Holy Spirit. Well, it's kind of offensive to our ministry a little bit, is because we don't believe that you should be drunk. So when people say you're drunk in the Holy Spirit, we're like, oh, that kind of feels weird. But Holy Spirit, you can be filled by him anytime you want. There's no like once a week only, or there's no restrictions. Like we can constantly be filled with him, filled by him. Fill us, Holy Spirit. And the coolest part is the word Jesus said, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? He will give us a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit when we ask him. Why not? Right? Why not? Let's get filled back up because we leak. I've heard that somewhere before. We live in this natural world and we get tired. Our physical bodies get tired. Our emotional bodies get tired. And our spirit then gets pushed under those things that are screaming really loud. But he wants to fill us back up. So let's be filled tonight. And this is where we're going to do the activation. Let's be filled tonight with Holy Spirit. You want to? Okay. So Matt has a couple songs for us. And this is what I thought we could do. And I just have a few other things to share after these. But it's going to be about 15 minutes. Is that okay? I just would love for you to just close your eyes. And if you want to read the words on the screens, we're going to have the words too, because some of the songs, one of the songs is a little hard to hear. But whether you're closing your eyes or you're looking at the screens, that's fine. But just ask Holy Spirit to fill you. We've seen how he wants us to release the supernatural. But if he's not living and breathing inside of us, there's nothing to release. He wants us to walk in the fullness of the fruits of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. And he wants to fill us tonight. He wants to fill us tonight. So go ahead and put that on if you can, Matt. Just receive. That's all you have to do. Just receive from Holy Spirit right now.
Now sing to glorify.
another song that we're going to put on, but I felt like the Holy Spirit wanted to minister to some in here that have never received the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to ask Pastors Ramleys if you guys could come, and any of the other altar ministry workers, if you could come and just be here, because I believe there's a few people here that need the initial baptism of the Holy Spirit with the initial evidence of speaking in tongues, and they need prayer to break through that and to receive. So if that's you, just come on up, and one of us is going to pray with you, and we're going to believe that you're going to receive the Holy Spirit tonight. You know, this is all about relationship. Throughout this month, when we start talking about the supernatural, remember that Jesus had a relationship with the Father. And that is where his dependence lied. He said, "I and the Father are one." He said, "I only do what I see the Father doing." So it's important for us to focus on our relationship with Holy Spirit and the Father and Jesus, so that we're spending time with him. We're looking for him. Risk and faith. You can have a head knowledge and never see the supernatural. And you can have a heart knowledge and rarely see the supernatural. Faith in action is taking risks. Remember that. Pair up. Practice. Practice. Jesus sent his disciples out to do just that. Luke 10 is an activation. Pair up and practice walking in the supernatural. And then remember to talk about him. Remember to talk about him. Amen. So we're going to play another song throughout this one. And if that is you, if you want prayer to receive the Holy Spirit, don't leave, because he's here and he wants to fill you up. He wants to fill you up. Amen. Let's worship.
Provide the fire, and I'll provide the sacrifice. You provide the Spirit, and I will open up inside. Fill me up, God. Fill me up, God. Fill me, God. Fill me, God. Fill me, You provide the fire, and I'll provide the sacrifice. You provide the Spirit. Fill me up, God. 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 Fill me up. love of God overflow, permeates all my soul. Love of God overflow, permeates all my soul. Love
thank you tonight. We thank you that as we've come before you tonight, we've asked that you fill us with your Holy Spirit. Continue to pour your Holy Spirit into our lives. Fill us, Father, with the way that you filled the disciples on the day of Pentecost. And they said it was all in one place, on one accord. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. They began to speak in tongues and magnify God. Father, we seek that power tonight in Jesus' name. We seek that power that we may be able to work supernatural miracles, that the lesson that we heard tonight, being supernaturally filled, speaking of the powerful and wonderful works of God. And Father, we thank you tonight for being in your presence. Holy Spirit, we thank you for being here tonight. We felt your presence all during our time together. And we thank you, Lord. And we thank you for the increase of our faith tonight, that we understand that we walk by faith and not by sight. We're nothing without you. Your word says, without me, you can do nothing. We thank you, Lord, for your word tonight. Your word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And we thank you, Father, for the manifestation of your spirit working in this place tonight. I decree and declare by the word of God that men and women in this building will walk in the power that you've given us. We will walk in the authority that you've given us. And we will manifest the greatness and the goodness of the power of God. Thank you, Father, for healing the sick. Thank you, Father, for signs and wonders being displayed in this place. In Jesus' name, we glorify you. We lift you up. We magnify your name. You're awesome, powerful, wonderful. And we thank you. We praise your name tonight. We give you glory, honor, power, and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.